Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise as we sing verses 1, 6, and 7 of our first hymn. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Glory to heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest me.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment.
For I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee on thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Blessed is he who considers the poor.
The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble.
The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth.
He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies.
The Lord will strengthen him on his sick bed of illness.
He will sustain him on his sick bed.
I said, Lord, be merciful to me.
Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you.
My enemies speak evil of me.
When will he die and his name perish?
If he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself.
When he goes out, he tells it.
All who hate me whisper together against me.
Against me, he tries my hurt.
An evil disease, they say, clings to him.
And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more.
Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread,
has lifted up his seal against me.
But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up.
That I may repay them.
By this I know that you are well pleased with me.
Because my enemy does not triumph over me.
As for me, you uphold me in my integrity.
And set me before your face forever.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
From everlasting to everlasting. Amen.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Lord,
have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts that, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Self-examination and reflection on the 9th and 10th commandment. The Ten Commandments preach repentance, that is, by them God shows you your sin and how much you need a Savior. The 9th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. So if I long for the honor, health, happy life, or what seemed the ease of the lives of others? Has my life been full of craving for these things? Have I been stingy and self-indulgent with my money, trying to keep up with what others had? Have I tried by claims of various rights to make the property of others my own, saying that they don't really deserve it, and I do? Do I have to keep wishing for and dreaming about things I do not have before I can work with a diligent and glad heart? Have I lived in grudging discontent with whatever God has given me, restless about what I do not have, and neglectful of thankful generosity with what I do have? Do I seek to satisfy the desires and appetites of my flesh in greed, gambling, lewd dressing, and conduct, gluttony, alcoholism, or drug abuse? Do I resent or envy those who have what I don't? The 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty. So if I wanted my neighbor's spouse, his workers, or his property to be mine? Have I tried to win the affections and loyalties of my neighbor's spouse or children or friends away from the neighbor to me? Have I urged friends and spouses and workers to go back to their calling, holding their marriages, friendships, families, and work together? Have I fostered discontent with the congregation, its pastor or leaders, and failed to urge members to stay and do their duty in worship, praying, giving, and serving? Am I manipulative or controlling? Have I done all I could to mend or strengthen broken relationships? Our first reading is from the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands, and have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is to be put under him. But now we do not see yet all the things under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it is fitting for him, from whom all the things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, the eighth portion of the 8th and 9th chapters. And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Part 5 of the Passion of our Lord on Calvary. Now the soldiers now had charge of Jesus, Carrying his own cross, he went out to the city to a place called Skull Hill, in Hebrew, Golgotha. As they led him away, they laid hold of Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming from the country. On him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Following him was a great company of people and of women who bewailed and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. The days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never gave suck.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things with a green tree, what will happen with a dry one?" There were also two others, criminals, whom they led along to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called Golgotha, they gave him wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. It was the third hour, and there they crucified him. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The two criminals they also crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left, with Jesus in the middle. The scripture was then fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they cast lots to divide his clothes and decide what each should take. They made four parts, one for each soldier. There remained his tunic, which was without seam, woven in one piece from the top to the bottom. They said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide who shall have it." The scripture was thus fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." These things the soldiers did, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Over his head was put the charge against him. Pilate wrote the notice to be put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." This title was read by many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate, "You should not write 'The King of the Jews,' but that this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." People stood by watching. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests, the scribes and elders mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, that we may see and believe. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." The thieves who were crucified with him also reviled him. One of the criminals who hung there with him railed him, "Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are getting what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing here, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of them that were standing there heard it. They said, he is calling for Elijah. After this, Jesus knew that all things were accomplished. Fulfilling the scripture, he said, I thirst. There was a jar of wine standing there. One of them ran immediately to get a sponge. He filled it with wine, put it on a reed, held it up to his mouth, and gave it to him to drink. Others said, wait and see if Elijah will come and save him. When Jesus had received the wine, he cried out with a loud voice, it is finished. Then he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he died, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. All the people who had gathered to see the sight, when they saw what had happened, turned away beating their breasts. Those who had known him stood at a distance. Also the women who had followed him from Galilee. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Joses, and Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It was the day of preparation before the Sabbath. And this was the Passover Sabbath. Therefore, so that the bodies should not remain on the crosses during the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies removed. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. One who saw it, it is our witness, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, that they also may believe. These things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. By this time, evening had come. A respected member of the council, Joseph of Arimathea, was one that was looking for the kingdom of God. He was a good and righteous man who had not consented to their purpose and deed. He was a disciple of Jesus secretly, for he feared the Jews. Now he took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was astonished that he could be dead already. He called for the centurion and asked him whether Jesus was already dead. When he was assured by the centurion that it was so, Pilate granted Joseph the corpse and commanded that it be given over to him. Joseph bought fine linen and came and took the body of Jesus. Nicodemus came also, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of weight. It was he who had first come to Jesus by night. They then took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, where no one had ever been buried. Joseph laid the body in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rocks, and rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, was sitting there opposite the sepulcher and saw where he was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. On the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees went together to Pilate and said, Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days I will rise again. Therefore command that the sepulcher be made secure until the third day to stop his disciples from coming and stealing him, and saying to the people, he has risen from the dead, making the final deception worse than the first. Pilate said to him, you have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone with a setting a watch. Here endeth our reading. Please rise as we confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we sing the hymn, O Love, How Deep, verses 1, 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 8, parts of chapter 9, and it's for us betrayed. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
While Jesus foretells his own betrayal, death, and resurrection in the second reading from Mark, and this shows you that the way of salvation only comes through the path of suffering. Jesus' suffering, his passion, does not simply mean that he sympathizes with you. Rather, it means that he participates in your suffering, and you in his. His betrayal, the crown of thorns, the shameful cross, all of these lead to show you how Jesus gave his dying breath as you sing in the series hymn. And in the Passion reading, you also hear how he dies and what that means for you today. Your saints in Christ, as you continue looking at this ancient hymn, O Love, How Deep, and how that love of God in Christ means everything for you as a Christian. Now last week you heard how Jesus drives back the forces of Satan from you. This week you are now confronted with what happens when you are the problem. Last week Jesus drove a demon out of the man. But today it seems as though Satan has entered not just one, but two of Jesus' close disciples. Jesus teaches that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected, and by the elders and chief priests and the scribes be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Two particular words are important in this sentence from Jesus, namely the words suffer and be rejected. You see, part of Jesus' humiliation is that he suffers both for you and with you. His suffering is not simply that he is in pain or that he hurts. It means that he endures the pain of another. He feels as they feel. He knows what they are going through. Mark uses the word paschal here. The English words for compassion and sympathy are related to this Greek word. The author of Hebrews puts it this way: for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. You know that everyone and everything exists according to the Son of God. All things exist through him. So when Jesus works to bring you back to the gracious presence of the Father, he does so through suffering. Your salvation is made perfect. That is, it is completed through his suffering. But Jesus' suffering is not simply that he hurts as you hurt. It's not just that he is like you, although this is true. His suffering comes specifically as a result of the world's rejection of him as the Son of Man. Now, in many ways, Jesus' journey throughout the Gospel of Mark is the story of his rejection. I mean, city after city, town after town, group after group rejects him. But not because he has done something wrong or because he is evil or that he has sinned. No, far from it. They reject him because he is good, because he is holy, because he is righteous in every way. And for that, they reject him. Today, though, this rejection takes an even darker turn. Both Peter's and Judas's betrayals are predicted in Mark. They were two of the 12. Peter was one of the three members of the inner circle, one of Jesus' nearest and closest friends. And that betrayal cuts deepest of all. That is the suffering that only comes from love. You see, one of the most dangerous things about love is that it makes you vulnerable. When you love another person, you are, in effect, giving them permission to hurt you. The closer you are to a person, the more they can hurt you. And that is why Peter's betrayal cuts so deep. 3 times he denies Jesus in the face of enemies. And then Judas. Well, Judas betrays Jesus all the way to death itself. Judas takes Jesus when he is most vulnerable, when he is the most exposed, and he betrays the Son of Man with a kiss. Nevertheless, remember that even when Jesus is betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men, he permits it because of his great love for you, as you heard in stanza 5 of the series hymn. For us by wickedness betrayed, for us in the crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death. For us he gave his dying breath. Just imagine the scene now before you. Jesus, betrayed by Judas into the hands of sinful men, is now arrayed in a crown of thorns, so painful that the mere thought of them being placed into his head makes one's skin itch. Then the very cross upon which he will be crucified is placed upon his back. He literally bears it. That is, he carries it to Golgotha, the place of a skull. And it is there that your Lord gives up his dying breath. The one who first breathed life into all creation now breathes his last. The one by whom all things are made and given life dies. He is rejected by friend and enemy alike. Nevertheless, even then in his dying last breath, he gives. He gives his dying breath so that you may have life breathed into you again. This, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the heart and soul of Christianity. This is the essence of love, that God, your God, would love you to the end, and by that end, by his death, would take you from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. But in order for you to get through the valley of the shadow of death, he must lead the way. He must die, so that when he rises from the dead, he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. As the Apostle Paul says in his first letter to the Christians in Corinth, your saints in Christ, tonight you have heard how your Lord died upon the cross, the cost he paid for your salvation. And as you prepare for Holy Week, repent. Remember the God who does all things for you and gives you his dying breath. You will hear it again on Good Friday. It is truly worthy of your meditation more than once during this season. Amen. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Thank you.
me. O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
hear us.
O God the Father in heaven,
have mercy upon us.
O God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy upon us.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all error.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all evil.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From the crafts and assaults of the devil.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From sudden and evil death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From war and bloodshed.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From sedition and rebellion.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From lightning and tempest.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From all calamity by fire and water.
Good Lord, deliver us.
From everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation.
Help us, good Lord.
By your holy nativity.
Help us, good Lord.
By your baptism, fasting, and temptation.
Help us, good Lord.
By your agony and bloody sweat.
Help us, good Lord.
By your cross and passion.
Help us, good Lord.
By your precious death and burial.
Help us, good Lord.
By your glorious resurrection and ascension.
Help us, good Lord.
By the coming of the Holy Spirit the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our prosperity.
Help us, good Lord.
In the hour of death.
Help us, good Lord.
And in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you.
To hear us, O Lord God.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word and in holy living.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To bring into the way of truth all such as have erred and are deceived.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To beat down Satan under our feet.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To send faithful laborers into your harvest.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise up those that fall and to strengthen those who stand.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
And to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give all nations peace and concord.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To preserve our country from discord and contention.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give our nation perpetual victory over her enemies.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To direct and defend our president and all in authority.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
And to bless and keep our magistrates and all our people.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To behold and succor all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To protect all who travel.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To preserve all women in the perils of childbirth.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To set free all who are innocently imprisoned.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To defend and provide for all fatherless children and widows.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
And to have mercy upon all men.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give and preserve to our use the fruits of the earth.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
And graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
Amen.
Please be seated as we sing hymn 307. Give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again. And that he who by a tree once overcome might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom the angels and archangels with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, Son of God,
that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, Son of God, that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, Son of God, that takes away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat the true body of Christ. Take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
blessed your body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us to the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his peace.
Amen.
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 We sing verses 1 and 8 of hymn 550.